This morning, I would like to offer you the next piece of the metta practice. And whether you would like to take it up this morning or not is your choice. But I would like to offer it to you as a possibility. And just so you have more sense of the scope of the practice. So this morning we'll be exploring, if you choose to, and if you don't choose to, you can stay with yourself, you can stay with a benefactor, a good friend, neutral person. But the possibility this morning of exploring the forgiveness practice, which leads to the practice with the difficult person. And I'll repeat myself again. Please do not feel obligated to do this if it feels like it's not appropriate at this point in time for you. It's perfectly okay. You can take it up anytime or not take it up until it's appropriate. And I'd first like to just say a few words about metta itself, and then the transformation of some of the what is meant in a little more fully by the transformation of states of anger, for instance. I mentioned, I think it may have been the first evening or somewhere along these days, that metta and sentimentality are not the same thing. Metta is strength, confidence, clear seeing, with the heart of understanding that comes, care that comes out of understanding, love that comes out of understanding, and understanding that comes out of love. It's a very strong place. Sentimentality is a delusion. It's a kind of soft, fuzzy place that sees only a very small piece of life. And it ignores the breadth, the scope of our life experiences as humans. So they're not the same thing. And sometimes we're confused, thinking that we're practicing to be soft fuzzies. That's not the case at all. We're practicing to really enter into the strength of our heart and the confidence of our heart, and acting out of that with understanding. So in the light of that, just a few words about forgiveness. Or let me say something else about anger. I had meant to say it last night and it got too late, so. Anger, the transformation of anger is not into a soft, fuzzy place. Anger is a very powerful, very strong, very passionate energy. But being caught in anger, the inherent nature of being caught in anger is being caught in a very narrow, blind, self-centered place. We can't see clearly. It's sometimes described in the traditional teachings as a pond over a hot boiling, or a stream over a hot boiling cauldron. The transformation of anger out of the self-centered nature of anger, there's still this energy, this strong energy. But the transformation is to seeing clearly, seeing the situation in its wholeness, and seeing clearly what is actually happening, not from this self-centered, contracted, blind place. In the Tibetan teachings, all the energies of mind, the energies of heart, are given a personification and even a form, and with different colors and different faces. And there's one, and they're called deities, which, you know, they're called gods, all the energies. There's one called Yamantaka. Yamantaka is wrathful wisdom. Wrathful wisdom is anger transformed. And it's very necessary, certainly very useful, in terms of living life in a clear, full-hearted way, and a way out of suffering, because that contracted, self-centered, blind place of anger is enormous, an enormous place of suffering. There are always going to be situations in life that are difficult. As I was saying this morning at breakfast, even if we lived in a place where everything around us was rosy and sweet all the time, there is no such place, but if there were, it wouldn't matter. We still have a body. Our bodies are going to have difficulty. It's inevitable. And so we still have to deal with difficulties. But from the Buddhist perspective, difficulty and suffering are not the same thing. There will always be difficulty. The relationship to get difficulty is either a relationship of suffering or a relationship of freedom. We can be free in the midst of the most enormous difficulties. As I told a couple of stories last night, my friend and student who died of AIDS and Eddie Illesum from Auschwitz, we can be free in the midst of enormous difficulty. That's, from the Buddhist perspective, what suffering is. Or lack of what enlightenment is. Freedom from suffering. Maybe a little bit different way to look at it for some of us. So in the light of that, I'd like to offer the possibility of exploring the forgiveness practice. And the forgiveness practice is really sometimes metta practice is actually taught with forgiveness practice coming first, before any of the metta, specific metta phrase practices. But I personally don't feel that's the best way to teach it. So it feels to come in now. And the forgiveness practice begins in a very generic way. It begins without connecting to any specific beings at all, but just a very broad, general way of entering into the possibility of forgiveness. And just a very short story, not so short maybe, but in Buddhist monasteries, when anyone leaves the monastery, and if they're leaving for a long period or they're leaving for good, there's a ritual, or there's a practice, a form that's gone through where the person who's leaving sits with the people who are still at the monastery and asks for their forgiveness. If there's anything that this person has done, the person who's leaving, during their time at the monastery, if there's anything that they've done to cause harm to anybody there, they ask for forgiveness. And the people that are still there offer that same forgiveness. If this person has done any harm, consciously or unconsciously, to anybody there, they offer their forgiveness back. When I lived at the meditation center as the resident teacher in Massachusetts, we have a rotating staff. People come on for a year and come on any time. Not everybody comes and goes at the same time. So whenever anybody was leaving, we would sit together and we would offer that, the practice of forgiveness to each other. And it's very powerful. We didn't talk about specifics. We just offered that heart of forgiveness for any harm that was done consciously or unconsciously. So I'll offer you the phrases, the first set of phrases that are really not directed toward any specific person. As if you choose to say them, you're certainly welcome, again, I say, to just listen. But if you choose to engage, explore it, maybe specific images or people will come up. It's natural. Just notice them, but let them go on through and come back to that sense of big space in this. So, sitting comfortably. Bringing the awareness into the body. Breath through the heart, breath in the heart center, that energy center. And make sure you're comfortable in your body. Change your posture, stand up if you need to, sit in a chair if you need to, so that you're comfortable in your body with the practice. And we'll begin with the phrases. I'll say the phrase out loud and then be quiet for a while, and if you choose to, you can repeat it silently to yourself. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask their forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask their forgiveness. Or you could say, I ask your forgiveness. letting any of the images, people, scenes move through, and just allowing the possibility of release from the burden of guilt, asking for forgiveness in a very big way, spacious way. And it's asking oneself, I don't know if you heard that, it's asking oneself at the same time we're asking out. And letting this phrase rest. And again, don't feel obligated to do this at this point. It's like planting a seed for some of us, for the right time. The next phrase, if anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive them. Don't get stuck or attached to any specific image or person or scene. Just let it move through if you're doing this at all. Let it keep moving through. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive them. If it's too difficult, stop. Offer metta to yourself. Offer metta to your benefactor. Offer metta to your dearest friend. Letting this phrase rest now. Breathing. And the last phrase. In any ways that I have hurt or harmed myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I offer forgiveness. In any ways that I have hurt or harmed myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I offer forgiveness. Remembering to breathe. And let this phrase rest. Coming back into the body, to the breath. And for the rest of the practice period, choosing whoever you would like to work with, yourself, a benefactor, maybe a new benefactor, maybe the same person you've been working with, a dear friend, maybe a new friend will appear, and maybe the neutral person. And you can also continue working with the forgiveness phrases if that feels appropriate. But it's important not to force it. You may go back and forth if you choose the forgiveness phrases with the benefactor, with forgiveness. And keeping it at this point, keeping it big. Not getting hooked on any specific person, although specific people and situations and scenes may come through. Noticing, but let them move on through. May I be safe. May I be peaceful. May I be strong. May I take care of myself easily. May I be liberated. May I love myself completely, just as I am. Moment to moment. And finishing with whatever phrase you're on. The transformation of anger into the clarity of a mirror-like wisdom. The transformation of strong desire into the clarity of healthy, discriminating wisdom. The transformation of arrogance or self-recrimination into the wisdom of equality. The wisdom of the heart. Within metta, there is a great deep tenderness, sweetness, along with the and not separate from the strength and confidence. And all of it is rooted in the ground of impersonality. The ground of it is not personal, although we relate out of it personally to this person, that situation. As we begin to recognize this selflessness, this impersonality, this emptiness of self as the ground of metta, we begin to look at other beings and see ourselves. And this is really the birth of metta. with spending a little bit of time with someone that you have an easy feeling of loving kindness with. It may be a benefactor, it may be a dear friend. And if another benefactor than the one you've been using comes forth to be given the metta phrases, given the directing, the to be given metta energy, then of course you can practice with that person. If a different friend comes up to be practiced with, then that's okay also. So spending a little bit of time at the beginning of this sit with a dear friend, a benefactor, or yourself, directing the energy of loving kindness, directing the phrases, showering the blessings of loving kindness on this person. You're with. And returning to breath, breath through the heart. We'll begin to explore practice now with a neutral person. it's sometimes hard for some people to find a person that we haven't formed an instant like or dislike for. Sometimes even if we don't know them. But looking around in your life for a person with whom you don't have strong feelings in one direction or the other. And all of the thoughts and feelings that come up with strong feelings for or against someone. Someone who that isn't either at all or not much a part of your sense of your relationship, even though you may not know them. It's helpful to choose someone that you see occasionally, at least in your life. And this will help to bring the feelings and the changing feelings for them more clearly into focus when you actually occasionally see them. Could be someone in a store that you shop in, or someone that you see regularly on the street, or if you take public transportation, that you see on the bus or streetcar, or just that you encounter occasionally in your life in some way. Sometimes it's actually a great relief to practice with a neutral person because of the lack of strong feelings in either direction and all of the thoughts that go along with that. This being, this neutral person, also having the wish to be at ease in their life, to be happy, to be contented, just like each of us have. So in some way, touching that or allowing that in, acknowledging that. This person, this neutral person, also having all the human experiences of up and down, making mistakes, having successes, all of the humanness, just like we do. So spending just a few moments once this person comes into your heart, comes into view, you can visualize them if that's easy, or even though you may not know them at all or know them very little, some sense of them, bringing that in. And spend a few moments just reflecting, allowing in this knowing that this person also wishes to be happy in their life, wishes to be content, at ease. And then begin directing the energy of loving kindness towards this person, using the phrases that you've been using towards this being. if the interest in practicing with a neutral person gets thin, if there's a kind of boredom coming in, then go back to yourself or go back to someone that you care very deeply about, a good friend or the benefactor, and stay there for a little while, and then come back again to the neutral person. It's not at all unusual that over time in practicing with a neutral person that there's an increased sense of caring and warmth toward this person. And there's the feeling of separation just becomes less and less. There's a feeling of closeness becomes more our experience. So giving yourself the gift of coming back again and again to this person. wanted to share a story with you about practice with a neutral person. A friend of mine at the Meditation Center in Massachusetts in the United States was doing a long period of intensive metta practice, and she picked as the neutral person an accountant, a CPA, who still lives in the small town near the Meditation Center. She worked at the center and did a lot of the financial work for part of the organization, and so had met with this accountant once or twice, but really didn't know him at all. So she picked him as her neutral person and practiced with him probably for maybe a solid week or so. After the retreat was over, at some point, not too long afterwards, she needed to go to talk with him to get some help on working with the income taxes. So she went to his office and sat down across the desk from him, and she said she found herself looking at him and feeling like he was the most wonderful person in the world. And she just thought she was sort of in love with him. It wasn't a sexual kind of love, but she said she just loved him. And she was so surprised. And then and in a moment, she remembered she'd been practicing with him as the neutral person. And she went, oh. So she told me this story. And it wasn't long after that I had an appointment with him around my income taxes. And so I had never met him before. Had never seen him before. So I went into the office and I sat across the desk from him and I looked at him and I thought, wow, what a wonderful person. just such a nice person, you know. And I felt kind of beaming at him. And we went through our business and finished the income tax part of the conversation. And then we started having this conversation about our children, our grandchildren. Went on for about 20 minutes. We had this wonderful, very, as though we were old friends, kind of conversation. I was really enjoying it and thinking, geez, just wonderful, you know. And when I left the office, I was laughing. I realized that her metta had affected me. And here he was, this object of metta. About half an hour after I got back to the meditation center, there was a phone call from him. And he said that he was thinking after I left about our meeting, and he said he thought of a couple of really good ways to save me some money. And so he wanted to make another appointment so he could tell me how he was going to save me money, which in fact he did. He saved me a lot of money. So you never know what's going to happen in your metta practice. Someone once asked the Dalai Lama, I'm sure many of you have either seen the Dalai Lama in on television or videos or maybe in person, and how he's so friendly with people, and he meets hundreds of people, and he's this extremely friendly, smiling, warm human being. And someone once asked him, why do you always smile and seem so comfortable and so happy with every person that you meet? And his answer was, I never meet a stranger. So, practicing with the neutral person. And one last little tidbit here. A poem that I found years ago, I have no idea who wrote it. A friend approached me today. I had never met her before. We shared a lifetime of smiles. I never needed to ask what for. So we're, as you practice after this afternoon, and I'm going to say this now because after the Rupa Lila, I'm not going to say anything. We'll have a silent sit. practice with yourself. Bring in a benefactor, a friend, a neutral person. And exploring all of it. Spending some time with each or any of those. You can just stay with yourself if that's appropriate. You can go back and forth with yourself and the other beings. So giving yourself the creative license to explore your practice as it feels appropriate. And I'd also like to make the announcement that please don't leave the meditation hall before...